This is the Good Bad Podcast, where we talk about some good, some bad.
Exploring the beautiful mess of life's issues and culture through the criticism of humor, creativity, and religion.
I've never met your wife, Gabe, and I don't think she exists.
Oh, she definitely exists.
Every time we FaceTime, we just hear this voice off screen yelling about something.
Yep. Today earlier we were talking the cat water.
The water.
It was like, oh, I'll unplug this. No, don't unplug this. How are they going to drink water?
Yeah.
I just think that it's like Gabe holding like an audio like play button, and then all of a
He's
sudden,
just got a soundboard.
Boom. She starts like
he's got a
nagging.
Soundboard going on.
It's got like 9 sounds. He pays somebody to like every month to get new sounds. Yeah, she totally exists.
You guys got to come back to Detroit. We'll find out.
I guess so. You could also come down to Grand Rapids,
D-town, baby.
D-town.
Yeah.
I love those like videos you send us all the time. That they're just some crazy event happening on the street usually. Like the one where there's a bunch of guys like beating up this other dude and then a car wreck happens like right in front of that. It's just that there's too much happening there all the time.
There really
it's insane.
Is.
But nothing at the same time.
Yeah. Dude, Detroit is insanity. It's almost a meme in and of itself. It literally is the definition of world star.
Have you guys watched White Boy Rick?
No, I haven't seen that. It looks good, though.
It's your type of movie, game.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Oh, everybody.
It's full on D-town.
Yeah. Everybody in Detroit knows about White Boy Rick. I mean, he's like a local legend. So.
He's gonna get out in 2020 apparently.
Yep.
Is it a docu?
No, it's a movie. It's got Matthew McConaughey in it. It's like a true story about this like young kid that got involved in being an FBI informant for like drug cartels.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up becoming a drug lord after he informed for them, and then they caught him, and then he ended up in prison.
Well, that's what they said, you know. Yeah. They had a 15-year-old kid doing their dirty work, and then the end they were like, all
right,
we're just gonna lock you up. So
yeah, he didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
How about that censorship going on? Relevant magazine stole it from BuzzFeed.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now because I haven't read it.
So, this article is called "Everyone Who Donated to That GoFundMe to Build Trump's Wall is Getting a Full Refund." There's no.
Oh yeah, yeah, I did glance at that.
There's no author because they stole it all from BuzzFeed, which they do link. At least they gave him credit, but it's so funny to me. Like, they try to portray the person who made it as like a crazy person. And he might be like the guy, I think his name is Colfage, but they were saying he's more suspect because he made another GoFundMe in the past where the money that was raised would go to help mentor veterans who were hospitalized. But like when BuzzFeed contacted the hospitals he mentioned, they had no record of the guy and had no record of him donating money. So it's kind of weird. I mean, who knows? Like, even if he got like the money, he could donate anonymously. But it's
such a strange time we live in where people can like start a Kickstarter or GoFundMe about anything.
I was thinking that too. Yeah.
Right. Well, the same thing with like the government employees. It's like, now that I can't pay rent, it's like, if it's really that bad, like there is a like actually there are jobs out there. Like maybe
whatever happened to that other GoFundMe that was like conflicting with this one about building ladders for the wall?
It was like,
that's amazing,
dude. That was so
such
funny.
A troll move.
I shared that on my Facebook, and it was like ladders to money for ladders to get over the wall when Trump builds it. GoFundMe, and I was just like, the level of pettiness has reached uncharted waters. Like, this is insane.
Well, everybody is so obsessed with the word resistance. Like, we gotta resist.
Trump's government.
Do you guys follow Resistance Hole? It's like The Onion, but it's, you know, the other, it's like the regressive
so
left.
Many parody sites.
Yeah. No, yeah. Well, I actually, on Facebook, I don't like the pages, but I follow some leftist pages. They are bonkers, man. Like every day it's like a new Onion article, but it's real. It's like Trump lied about eating a candy cane. He does not like Christmas as the Christians believe.
Dude, Vice is the best for that, I think. I think no. Vice takes the cake by far on anything I've seen on the internet for the regressive left.
Oh, I know. The one,
just like the batshit crazy things they say.
Well, dude, that one time they were interviewing. I don't know. No, they weren't interviewing. They did a interview with somebody who was involved with a pedophile, and it like painted the pedophile in this like softer
like good light.
Yeah, and it was like, are you guys trying to, like, everybody in the comments is like, are you guys trying to normalize pedophilia? Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, everybody in the comments, like, not even, you know, the craziest people were. We're like, what the hell are you guys doing?
Well, we're seeing that too. Like, there's that like 10-year-old drag queen who's like getting showboated everywhere, and the left is celebrating it. It's like that's pedophilia. Like, he just posed with this naked winner of RuPaul's drag show or whatever. It's like, what the hell? Like, you're gonna really think that this is progressive? He's 10 years old. He doesn't know anything. His parents, they're insane because his parents are pushing it on him.
Could be. Yeah. Or I mean, it's like, you know.
Or encouraging it.
Yeah. You have those questions like when you're growing up and, you know, through socialization and stuff like that. And it's just like, okay, you have these questions. So you are this now for sure. You know, and I don't know. I personally, I think that people should be able to do whatever they want to do. When you're an adult, like that's to me, that's child abuse, you know, taking a 10-year-old to a strip club. Like if anybody else did that with their normal, like, straight kid, and everybody would be like, you know what, get out of here. You're going to jail.
Exactly.
Like,
CPS
taking like a
10-year-old
kid to like a women's strip club.
Yeah. Like you're going to the traffic light on 8 Mile. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. You brought your 10-year-old so you can get a hand job.
Isn't that what they do in Detroit though? Like,
isn't that the place that next to the place that you buy $50 soup at?
$50 soup and a lap dance.
Yeah. Kids allowed. Kids eat for free.
Can I get some oyster crackers in this chowder, please?
Dad, the only thing that they have here is pretzels and nuts.
Gabe's just like, don't talk about my city like that.
Yeah, Grand Rapids isn't any better. There's a massage place that's open till like 4 a.m. over
here. We got 24-hour places everywhere. They just busted a place actually probably like 8 miles away from me, and they're running like a, you know, a rub and tug. It's not even remotely close to being a massage parlor.
Oh, it just has a sign outside, but it's like clearly not that on the inside.
It's just like all the windows are blacked out and
tinted.
It's open from like 8 p.m. until 6 a.m. You know, like,
that's legit.
Yeah,
legit.
Somebody's just driving by. That seems like a legitimate business. I should invest there. Wow, this is really turning the city around. But I think what's funny about the GoFundMe wall thing is, even though it might break the rules of GoFundMe, it's just going to be another thing that the right uses as this idea of censorship, that they're being censored because now everybody's getting a refund. GoFundMe is a leftist organization. It's like, okay, why are we even having this discussion? Like, the government should be paying for the wall. This people investing.
Right, not the people.
Right. Well, the people would be, technically, because it's not like it wouldn't be
tax with
dollars.
And stuff. Yeah. But it's so bizarre seeing that, like, that amount was raised. Like, what if that was successful? What would happen? I mean, like, would that actually get done?
I don't think it could, because I mean that land is federal land, as far as I understand, right?
We can't just start building things.
Right. It's not like a church. Like, here's this new church. Like, they're trying to upgrade or expand, and then somebody comes in. They're like, "We raised all the money for you," and they're okay with taking the money. The government is not a church. You can't just donate money like that.
Yeah. I've seen the wall. I driven past there a few years ago, and it did look pretty crappy.
Sure, I don't think there's anything wrong with it inherently. I really don't. I think people have this idea that because you would have border security, that means that you do not want any form of immigration. Mm-hmm. And I think those people are partly right, because there are probably people who don't want more people in America. But I think it's mostly from an economic standpoint. Mm-hmm. Like, the more people we bring in doesn't mean that we have more work.
Less jobs. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have to be able to protect what we have, and we have to be able to keep the economy in a stable state. And what we'd see with that is more of an unstable environment for even hiring and not hiring, because there are more leftist practices being put into larger places of business. Like where I work, we often see like advertisements for LGBTQ, black minorities. Like, they play like advertisements that's like, go to this group. But imagine if there was a white group for people to go to. It's like, am I denying that there's discrimination? No, but it just seems like people want to have their cake and eat it too.
Yeah, that would not fly. Mm-hmm. If there was a white group.
No.
It looked like it was a Nazi group.
Yeah. Join the white support group. Like, and then you go from like gender from there. So then there is LGBTQ, and then there's men's and women's. And it's like, the second you throw a man's group in there, it's like, what do men have to complain about? And it's like, oh, let me tell you in a different podcast episode. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that a lot of the problem is the exclusionary element of it. You know, I think that different people groups have different unique experiences in the United States, but why not share that with a broader group of people than just inside of your own group? You know, why not, you know, let people understand where you're coming from? I think that human understanding, that would actually help more than it would hurt, you know?
Their argument would be that they don't think there'd be enough people that want to understand.
You know? I'd be first in line.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is that they think that you can't understand because of your experience. Like,
This is the farthest fringes, though, right? This is, I don't think this is most people, but I agree that's the narrative that they're probably pushing.
It's definitely that. I think the hard part, though, too, is the education system. So it is kind of difficult to say that this isn't not affecting our new cultures that are going to be coming up for kids. Because, sure, we have our parents and our generation, which in our generation is kind of like a mix of, I'd say there's more libertarians.
Segregation.
And, yeah, something like that. But, you know, I think the generation that's right after us, that start, it's hard to say that they haven't already been indoctrinated.
Yeah, I don't even know what it's going to look like 20 years from now.
I don't know. I think our generation, since we're going to take over, and having good thought leaders is going to help. Like, Peterson is a good thought leader. Sam Harris is a good thought leader. Mm-hmm. Brett Weinstein, like all these guys, they're all different, but they're thought leaders. And I think, even though they're all from different backgrounds, a lot of them are in education, they're really going to help shape what that world looks like, because the people who are more sane, who are more inclusive, are going to actually create the society that is going to be beneficial to all people. Doesn't mean that it's going to be right all the time, and that doesn't mean that there aren't going to be issues, but I don't think we're at that point, and I'm excited to see when we get there.
Yeah. What I love about Jordan Peterson is, like, he's controversial in the things he says, but he's super smart how he says it, because he's not going to say things that are going to get him shut off, like Twitter or stuff like that. I mean, I know Patreon kind of screwed him over on that, but
he didn't get banned. He left. And he left because of Sargon. Which is the topic we're going to try to get back to, which is censorship. So I don't think that, like, Relevance Magazine, like, their posts about the border wall, you can take it as censorship. But I don't think it necessarily is, because Patreon is in a losing battle right now with censorship. The owner of Patreon was on Dave Rubin's podcast, I think, like, 3 years ago or something, and they were talking about the censorship of Lauren Southern, who I think she clearly broke their rules, because she was doing some pretty crazy activism stuff. Like, she was trying to, like, make, like, busts in different countries, and I think that was just something that wasn't part of their guidelines. And so he said to Dave Rubin, there is no censoring. And then fast forward to a month or so ago, Sargon of Akkad, well, I don't agree with what he said. They, like, in the middle of this controversy, changed their rules in terms of service.
Maybe we should get into exactly what he said and then, like, start to go from there, because I, you know, we should probably disavow what he said, you know, just to, so we're not alt-right adjacent.
Yeah. So I know.
So we're not what?
Alt-right adjacent. That's what they're calling it.
So Sargon of Akkad was on somebody else's podcast that got published on YouTube, and he was trying to use words against racists who were calling him a white N-word, and that's what Patreon saw, and then they banned him from that. I mean, there's more context to it, but essentially he was just trying to use their word. He was saying, these white nationalist people call me white N-word, and they're acting like white N-words. So I don't agree with using that word, and I don't agree with necessarily using ad hominem attacks on people, because it really just ruins your argument right there. So I don't agree with it, but I do not. Their rules of in terms of service said that anything that was said on an outside platform that wasn't your own would not be taken into account for your brand.
Yeah, I think that I don't. Yeah, like you said, I don't agree with what he said or his method. I think it was, you know, not thought through and sort of pretty crude. And
it was emotional. I would not
ever. Yeah. Emotional, yeah, that's a good way to put it. I don't condone, you know, using any kind of, you know, racist language like that. But at the same time, the idea of censorship is to just, you know, people that even have offensive views or views that are demonstrably wrong should just be silenced, versus saying, okay, this is why they're wrong, and this is why we need to be better, right? Like Alex Jones, like, he just got booted off of all of his platforms, and it's like, Alex Jones is fucking crazy. nobody is debating that, you know, other than his followers, but you're just pushing these people underground. You're saying that, you know, what does that say to somebody who believes in conspiracy theories? You're the only one who's getting banned off of all these platforms.
Yeah, you just made it worse.
We must be right, you know?
Yeah.
Well, he said some crazy things, like threats and...
Yeah.
The whole Sandy Hook thing is insane.
Yeah, that was disgusting.
That's the worst thing I think
he
said.
I mean, we don't know enough about it. Like, yeah, it was a weird event that happened, tragedy. But to say, like, those are all actors and those parents that are grieving is so...
That's awful.
No. Well, especially since people who are prone to believing these insane conspiracy theories, they call up those families and are like, your kid's not dead. It's like, oh my god, like, you inadvertently caused that. And it took you how many years to actually disavow what you said? Like, it took an embarrassment. Like, I don't remember who interviewed him. It was What's-Her-Face on NBC. But she, like, interviewed him and made him look like a fool, especially about Sandy Hook. And then shortly after, that's when he came out with his public apology.
That's how you do it, though. That's what should be done, not just silencing him, because if you silence...
It makes it look really bad.
Right, right. You have to make them look stupid in the public square. You gotta debate them. You gotta insult them. You have to, you know, it's like when Bill Nye went to, well, not, okay, that's not the right word. You don't insult them, but you make their thoughts and their intellect appear, you prove that it's not true and inferior to
you. At least poke holes in their idea.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, you find all the inconsistencies.
Were you
going to
say Bill Nye and Ken Ham?
Yeah, I was going to talk about Bill Nye and Ken Ham. It's like people were yelling at Bill Nye, like, why are you giving this guy a platform? And it's like, he already has a platform.
Oh, yeah. You know?
He's got the Creation Museum or whatever, and like people riding on dinosaurs. And
that actually happened.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, dude, it's insane.
Like there are trees older than 4,000 years, Ken Ham. Like, if you go by tree ring dating, there are trees that are older than 4,000 years. How do you explain that? You know?
Yeah.
Or that the, what was he saying? That Tyrannosaurus Rex lived with people because their teeth are hollow, so that means that they could only eat leaves. Like, this is just pseudoscience. This stuff isn't true.
No,
like,
it's
ask
not
any
true.
Anthropologist, figure out what percentage of anthropologists are creationists, and I would venture to say that it is probably 0%.
My favorite thing about Ken Ham is they do a live show that I think it's also a podcast, and it's like, it's usually two women and one or two guys, but the guys are douchebags. Like, they interrupt these women so often that it's just annoying. And my favorite podcast that I listened to was, they were talking about the Hillsong worship song, So Will I, and they were judging Joel Houston's tweet, and he said, like, God, I think he said, God created science and creation, God created the Big Bang. So they're like, let's take this tweet where he said God created the Big Bang, and let's compare it to the lyrics. He's like, all nature and science follow the sounds of your voice. Well, we know that science isn't fucking true. It's like, what? One of the things that is ridiculous about the whole censorship thing is that the left will invite maybe libertarian to right-leaning speakers to debate them, but when right-leaning people invite them, they just don't go. And
yeah, they turn them down all the time.
Right. And I think that's because they want to control the forum. They want to choose conversations that they don't want to discuss. And when people choose to have the full control, it is censorship, especially when you're trying to play with really hard ideas.
That's why I like listening to Jordan Peterson's debates, because he like has people on there that actually have valid points.
Yeah, I think it's complicated because not every issue is so black and white. It's like you can say murder is wrong and you don't really need to debate it, saying something like, we need to make abortion illegal is more of a complicated conversation. It's more of a complicated dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see these conversations going anywhere, because we're also seeing the extremes. Like, we're listening to extreme people on the left, extreme people on the right. We're not bringing in moderates. And I think that's just because we live in a headline driven culture, the clickbait culture.
Yeah, oversaturated social media. Like, you can get things instantly. A question I had is like, what is your idea, like your idea of censorship? Like, what do you think it should be? Like, where does it stop?
I'm when it comes to free speech, I'm pretty much, I would say I'm an absolutist in that I don't think the idea that we have of censorship is the correct idea. So imagine this. Instead of Alex Jones being banned, imagine a journalist or a scientist or, you know, anybody with the credentials to have a fact-checked piece of writing right in front and behind his podcast. So when he says something that is just a blatant lie, you can look at it and say, you know, next to his quote, like juxtaposed, this is the actual statistic. This is the actual, this is the actual fact about it. This was a complete lie. Imagine the power of that versus just shutting him down and blocking him out.
Right. Well, Milo Yiannopoulos kind of fucked himself over because he said that pedophilia was kind of what made him who he is today. And it's probably more than that, but that's like the big thing that brought him down. He said it on Rogan's podcast. He said it on another podcast. And I think we can say like censorship like that, but it's also, he said it. And then again, it's like, it's not a good thing. Like, people are traumatized. Like, it sounds like Milo Yiannopoulos had some trauma he didn't deal with, and now he's just being a big troll. And now he's getting pissed off at Peterson because he's acting like Peterson's ideas are simple. Like, he's just speaking the obvious. Like, take care of your room, clean your room. Like, you need to take care of yourself better than you take care of other people's, because if you're not able to take care of yourself better than other people, you're not going to be able to take care of the world in a proper manner. It's like, yeah, we get that. Like,
it's simple, but it's like truth.
It doesn't mean that the idea isn't complex. And for somebody as self-centered as Milo is, obviously those ideas don't really make full sense to him because he is self-centered. He's egotistical. So it's not like he's trying to fix the world. He's trying to create his brand up again.
Yeah, I mean, even the simplicity of those ideas, and you can debate how complex they are, but I think at the end of the day that a lot of people in Western society and in our society, they don't have somebody telling them those simple things, you know? That's why people, you know, they go to Jordan Peterson's lectures and they're like, you saved my life. Like, you helped me so much. And, you know, some of the stuff that he says is extremely profound in his book, but for the most part, it's not. It's common wisdom.
It's like good life advice. Yeah.
And nobody's told people that, and somebody has to do that. And so I think that's a really bad judgment that people have of him, and or a bad criticism, because it's not really valid. Like, yeah, it's simple, but people need to hear it. Does that make it any less valuable than something that's complicated?
Like, when I heard Milo say it, it made me feel like he was upset at people who liked Jordan Peterson. Because the ideas were simple, it might have been the fact that it's been said to them over and over and over, and then there's this one guy who says it in this way that finally clicks in their brain. Or it's completely a new idea, and it's like, my life has not been going well. If I just apply this simple truth, maybe my life will get better. And then Peterson begins to see all these repeat processes where it's like, I didn't get along with my dad, and I, you know, started working out. I started eating better. I, you know, actually talked to my dad. I started seeing a counselor. And now things are beginning to work out for me. Why are you upset that that's happening? That's a good thing. Right. It just sounds like you have too much of an ego.
He's not popular anymore.
No. Much. No. Yeah. Well, especially after the pedophile thing, and even just some of the things that he would say, like to people, like the insults that he would throw at people. It's like, he would call people stupid. Your idea, your thing is stupid. And it's not that it necessarily wasn't a dumb idea, but he was so good at attacking the individual in a vicious way. Where Peterson, I would say, in almost every debate, finds the individual.
He's not hostile.
He's been kind of aggressive. I don't know if he's been hostile.
He is, but he's smart about it. He's not looking for a fight. He's just
right
there asking critical questions.
It's not belligerent aggression.
No. Right. No, and he tries to formulate the idea as best as he can. And he listens to feedback. That's one thing I appreciate about Peterson, is he has a group of people that audits him. They audit what he says, how he says it, and then they come back to him. They're like, maybe say it like this. That's a person that you would want to trust. Somebody who can take constructive criticism, apply it to their life, and become a better person because of it. That's so important, because I think part of the idea of censorship isn't just the fact that it's political. It's that people have been raised in a culture that says your voice is important. You can do whatever you want, however you want. And if people tell you otherwise, fuck those people.
Yeah.
Like, that's a form of censorship too.
That's not healthy.
No, it's not. It's a bad way to live life.
It could be really easy to get censored nowadays because everything's offensive. So you say one bad thing, it can totally ruin your career. Especially if you said it like 10 years ago. They'll just dig through your Twitter and...
Well, there was a guy that...
Like Kevin Hart.
Yeah, or Cold Game Kelv. I don't know. You guys probably don't follow him on Instagram, but...
No.
He's like, they call him the Deer Whisperer and Brother Nature and stuff. And he's like this happy, fun-loving kid. I think he's like 20 years old. And he's like, hey, what's up, homies? Like, to the deer. And he's like feeding deer out of his hand. And he goes and he has like an animal show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he wrote like...
It's like a viral video.
Yeah. And when he was like 13 or 14 years old in middle school, he wrote like white power and stuff on his Twitter. And he's not even white. He's like Puerto Rican and black, I believe. I don't know for sure. So, but he might have some white in him, but I don't know. But they were like, oh, well, we can't listen to you anymore. And it's like, how can you censor this guy? Like, even if that's what he did believe, he turned his life around 100% completely from those terrible ideas, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we just, right, in today's society, we write our own book of sins. It's basically what we're doing.
Right. Well, I mean, it's kind of true, but I think at the same time, like, it doesn't really matter what you do. It doesn't matter how much you grow. It's like, you said it, you have to own it. It's like, well, 5 years ago, I'm not the same person that I was. Like, even I look back at when I was 20, I don't think the same way. Like 100%. So you go 15, 20, even 30 years back, you honestly aren't the same person. You don't think the same things. You probably don't like the same things. And I think people want to have this really simple answer that everybody is exactly the same. They just internalize some form of oppressive behavior and it's just coming out now. And it's foolish, because we're seeing the kickback of that. Like, in the Bible, there's a scripture that says, in the way that you judge others, you will also be judged. And we're just seeing that. And that's why, like, the left is eating itself. You know, the right is kind of eating itself too, in a lot of ways, but more so the left.
People are tired of two parties.
Yeah.
They kind of see, like, the lies and the deceit and just the game that they're playing constantly.
I think I remember I was listening to the Liturgist podcast, which it's a leftist podcast, let's be real. But Michael Gunger on the podcast had said something interesting, or maybe it was a different podcast, but he said something on the lines of, he has a relative, I think in Idaho, who was trying to run for governor or something, and they had almost gotten abortion to be illegal. And he said that his uncle got a call from the Republican Party. They're like, if we don't have a platform, if you ban this, we don't have anything to run on. It's like, what? If that's your whole idea, if that's the thing that you want to try to get and then we're never going to get there, then why are you even using that as a tool? Like, that's manipulation right there.
Yeah, completely.
Mm-hmm. So it's not that, like, censorship is inherently all evil. It's just that lies are things that can become prominent when we don't create the ability to have constructive criticism from either side. Because then what we're just getting is a lot of propaganda.
Yeah, it's like what Jonathan Haidt says all the time, and it's on the cover of his book. It's like, when bad ideas meet good intentions, you know, this is what happens.
Yep, exactly. Well, and that's what's hard, is like the left has these massive good intentions. Like we want to have rights for LGBTQIA+ 77777, you know, like.
I do like some of the elements that they stand for. They are a little more compassionate, I feel like, on, you know, every race and diversity, whatever. Like, I think they support a lot of good things, but they kind of come off a little crazy.
I think it's because the American people are obsessed with winning. Like, my party has to win, and if we don't win, then we're losers. maybe you are a loser to begin with, and that's why you get so sucked into winning, because you are a loser and you keep losing, and this one thing might make you win.
It could be. I mean, we've been tribal primates for, you know, hundreds of thousands of years.
I'm just a monkey.
What do you do when you take, you know, the need for tribalism away? It's like, people are going to still try and find a tribal identity.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I just think that with the tribal identities, you have to remove partiality in it. I think that's what keeps things functioning and afloat. When you lose that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, super fans of football teams that will fight each other and mob the ref's car after the game where their team lost, versus
just like monkeys.
Yeah. Versus, you know, when the major cities, when their team wins the national championship of whatever sport, they burn the city down, and it's like, this is just as crazy as the political scene in America and in the West, you know? Like, that's what happens when tribalism gets out of control. And I think in the political realm, it's we need to get back to just being regular fans, like, where you can sit down and have dinner with your parents and not scream at them about intersectionality or, you know, you're this and you're that. It's like, how about you just try to understand the person instead of making an assumption on who they are.
Have you sat down with your parents recently at dinner and screamed about that?
No, I have not. What's great is I don't like having those conversations. Like, there's certain conversations that if you have to have them, then you really aren't that close with them. You know, it's like, if I see somebody and the thing I say to them often is like, we should hang out, we're really not that close. Let's be real.
Right. It's just a thing you say.
Yeah, it's just a thing you say. Yeah. But it should just be...
When you get over the age of 25, 20-something, that's what you say.
Yeah. People. Yeah, exactly.
It 90% of the time doesn't happen.
Or, like, my favorite is, like, the friend who's like, bro, I miss you. And, like, I've made it a habit of, if somebody says, like, we should hang out, I just say when.
And they're like, he asked when.
You actually have to think about it?
What? I thought it was looking like a cool dude right now. Oh, I guess we're not hanging out now because I can't think. It should just also be a rule to never talk politics with relatives ever.
Oh, no, I disagree, man. I think that it's important to, because otherwise it's just going to, you're going to keep staying in your echo chamber.
At least at the holidays. At least at Christmas.
Let's be honest.
Do
you find it more entertaining than important? Do you find it more entertaining than important?
I just don't want a shitty gift on Christmas.
It makes me sad, dude. Like,
I can't wait for next year.
It used to be that...
What kind of presents can I unwrap?
Did Aunt Grace poison the turkey because I didn't agree with her on political issues?
What gender is this turkey? What do you think?
You know, then you feel like a jerk because, like, you know, the night before you're like telling your grandma that her idea is stupid, and then she buys you like an iPad. You're like, God.
Yeah. You feel like crap the next morning.
And then she's sitting there like,
I am vindicated. I am selfish. I am wrong.
Yeah, I think we just need to get back to a place where you can have that discussion and be civil about it, though. I think the whole problem of it is that you can't have a civil conversation like that because, you know, you're just a libtard or...
You're a snowflake.
On the other side of it, you're just, you know, yeah, snowflake or racist, whatever. And
where did that even come from?
Snowflake?
Where did that word snowflake even come from?
Well, I thought there was like a description of, like, she's as delicate as a snowflake.
That's not what it is. It's actually, it's like a describing term. I think it first came from alt-right chat rooms or, like, white nationalist chat rooms, and it was pretty much, like, every snowflake is so unique, and it's not the same as the other one, so you just believe that you're just this little special, you know, perfect thing that nobody else is like you kind of deal. I think that's where it came from, but I could be wrong.
No.
Maybe.
Sounds legit.
I always thought it was like a play on the, like, a term of like a person or a thing is as delicate as a snowflake. That's what I thought.
That could be part of it.
They'll melt away easily.
Yeah.
Their tears.
give me your tears. Yeah. I'll just suck them down.
Well, that's really all I can think of.
Have you seen those liberal tear mugs?
They're funny.
No, I haven't seen that.
Ben Shapiro has them.
They make mugs that say liberal
tears.
Leftist tears.
All I can think of is the
feminist tears.
I can think of that South Park where I think it's like I think it's South Park. There's like this scene where Kyle is crying and then like Cartman comes up and he's like, let me taste your tears. And he's like licking the tears off of him.
Yeah.
like there's the right with their like abrasive aggression. Just
these tears.
Dude, there was that one episode where he killed the kid's parents and then he made him into chili and then he made the kid eat the chili and then the kid was crying and he's like, oh, I love your tears. Yeah. It tastes so good. And it's like, oh my God, this is so terrible. I hate this. No.
But that's like the right. They're like, I broke down your idea. It's no longer living. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think the issue with censorship has to start with the individual in order for it to fix the group. Because regardless of what you think, it's like you're always, like you said, Gabe, you're always going to go back to a tribe of some sort. But the tribe isn't going to fix the individual. The individual fixes the individual. Like if you don't have self-control, that's not an issue with the group. That's an issue with you. So if the whole group doesn't have self-control, there's something wrong with the entire group, but it's individuals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely agree.
Mm-hmm. So it's...
Yeah, you can't lump it all into one thing.
No. I think that's what makes it...
And I would say the same for liberals, too. Like, not every liberal is bad.
Right here. I'm not a bad guy, am I?
Let's turn this off right now. I had no idea.
You're a liberal?
And you look at people with common sense, you know, like Joe Rogan and Sam Harris, like they're pretty left, you know, but they're not regressive left.
Yeah.
I would put myself in that
classical. No, they're Gentiles and they're going to burn in hell.
No, Sam Harris is a Jew.
He's the Jewiest Gentile I've ever seen. I know he's a Jew. I don't think I consider myself on the right or the left. I'd say I'm liberal or libertarian. because I don't know if I would say the right is liberal, and I wouldn't say that the left, at least the far left, I wouldn't say is liberal.
I would say the same. I have a lot of libertarian ideals, but I don't know right now. It's kind of hard to identify with what you are just in the current state.
I know. It's like you have gender dysphoria, but with political
views. Yeah, with politics.
Yeah. Yeah. So, in my opinion, I think...
We're going to get this censored.
I hope so.
Since you said
that. Yeah, I know. Did you just equate political ideologies with a sexual gender? I think I'm with Gabe, though. I'm more of a absolutist when it comes down to censorship.
Still figuring myself out. I don't know.
What is your opinion? What is your opinion on companies censoring, though? Or at least companies taking up some sort of like political stance?
Like Apple?
Sure, maybe
like
Apple.
Companies like that.
Well, what about Cabela's, like not selling certain like weapons or certain like options of things that are legal? Sure, they're a private company, but I think it was after Parkland, they were like, we're not going to sell these things. Like, that's a political stance, in my opinion. It's not like they just randomly decided to do it, you know, for some reason.
I guess if you want to use Cabela's as an example, I mean, like weapons, like certain weapons that are just kind of ridiculous for someone to buy, like that aren't really like hunting level. I mean, I would agree with censoring that.
But my question does it have to do with, like, after a political event? Like,
after...
Parkland shooting happened, then Cabela's made a political stance of saying, like, they weren't going to sell certain, I think, like, upgrades to guns. Like...
Just permanently, or...
I believe
or was
so.
It, like, just permanently, okay.
Yeah, I think it's permanently. I'm sure they can change their things.
Yeah, I can jump in on that if you want. I have zero problems with a company taking a political stance or issuing a political statement. I think the problem is when you tell your employees that they have to adhere to it. Like, you know, James Damore, like firing him. That was stupid. That was not the right move. You can, you know, issue a statement against it, I guess. I think that what he was saying was just scientific. Maybe he could have worded it better. But I don't think that there's a problem with a company taking a political stance. I think there is a problem when you say this is what you have to believe. This is what must be your ideology or else you will be terminated as an employee.
Would you apply the same thing to like Nike, though?
What are you? I'm confused.
Well, Nike had what's his face? The quarterback, Colin Kaepernick. Like they put him as like the face. I'm like, I don't think he shouldn't say what he did. Maybe this setting was not the right place to say it. We can argue that. But making him the face of that company, like people who were more right leaning, who do support Nike, were like, let me just burn my shoes. Yeah. An idiot. No. You know, like,
I think, well, you can choose to not buy the shoes.
Right. Like, exactly.
It's not a big deal. Like, you can buy Adidas.
Yep.
But then their argument would be, like, well, I used to buy Nikes all the time. That's not fair to me. Like, that their political stance is this, and now I can't buy their shoes because of that. It's like, that's not true. Like, just because they believe this thing doesn't mean that it doesn't make their product, like, not well made.
Right. I think from the perspective of someone who is a consumer, it might not be the best decision for the company to blatantly make these political stances, especially because I think some of the things that are being pushed are from fringe groups, small groups. They're not from the majority. So I have a hard time with some of them, you know, like as terrible as a school shooting is, like the majority of like people experiencing those things, even though the number is increasing, it's still not a huge number. So why are companies feeling like they're getting strong-armed into censoring of some sort?
And you know, with Kaepernick, I think that it's fine for Nike to make a political statement, but as soon as, you know, one of their lead executives in a business meeting says, I don't agree with this message, let's talk about different messages that we can put out, and then if he would get fired, I think that that would be wrong. The market will decide if the marketing campaign is good or not, right? Because they're either going to sell and go out and increase their business, they're going to stay the same, or they're going to go out of business. And that's ultimately what companies do, is just attempt to make money, because they don't really have any investment in the political game. It's just a money grab attempt, you know. And
Remember Battlefield 5? Like, the trailer was like
changing
it's
history.
Like, here's World War II.
Right.
Like, we're gonna make it as accurate to World War II as we can. Let's make it social justice warrior-y. Like, and I don't play that game, but like the way they portrayed it definitely was not the way that I remember ever seeing.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a World War II movie that I can point to that I'm like, you got it right there. So
when you start changing history,
to be inclusive, because what you saw, like the second that video launched, their stock tanked and
dropped.
I mean, part of it is probably because EA sucks, but but it was like you could see like their stocks, like they had a consistent stock, and then all of a sudden it was like the month they released Battlefield, it just went straight down.
No, but I would agree with Gabe. I think I don't have a problem with it. It can get a little obnoxious though, like when it's like so in your face all the time, like they're just outright supporting an issue or whatever. But if you're like kind of private about it, like, you know, if they're donating to, you know, the LGBT community, like that, like let's say Apple's doing that, and I think they do. But
our work does it.
I don't know.
Our work pays for transition. Huh? My work pays for transition surgeries. They can do whatever they want with that money. Yep. They can do whatever they want with that money. It's their money.
I don't know. I remember when the Nike thing happened, my parents were, you know, freaking out about it. And I'm like, well, I could give you a list of companies that you probably all own these products in your home that support things that you don't agree with.
Right.
Why don't you, I mean, you're not going to have anything in your house. Like,
it's like, it's like, mom, do you buy Starbucks coffee? Yeah, I love Starbucks coffee. Guess what? Like, two
slaves pick the coffee beans.
Yeah. Where do you think the coffee beans come from? Where do you think the company stands? Like, my sister, when she worked for Starbucks, she had to do the anti-bias training. Like, the company did it when they had that big issue with, I think it was Baltimore. There's like two black men in the building, and then they got kicked out.
The police on them. Yeah.
The company wide, they did the anti-bias training that doesn't actually work. The one, I think Harvard made it, and it was like, you can take the test more than one time, and the test, you'll always get different results. And so it's not even something, but they were like, we'll do it because it says it's anti-bias training. And I saw some of the clips and I was like, this is insane. Like, they want that to me. I'm like, that's indoctrination, because it happened in one store, and nationwide, you're like, everybody who works at our stores are all racist. Might as well show everybody. Like, that's where I think it goes.
Lumping them all into one group.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that, you know, that might have been the motivation, but it also could have just as easily been they just don't want that sort of event to happen again. And
I think, you know, that's the point, but I think, again, like, the assumption
is a better way to find, you know, define the training. And
well, it's called anti-bias training. It's trying to work with your unconscious biases, and the idea behind it is that you have thoughts that you don't think and you don't act on, and they make you a biased person, whether that makes you sexist or racist. It's some form of discrimination, which people discriminate all the time. It's just human nature. Like,
yeah.
There's people out there who discriminate against Hershey's chocolate because they don't like Hershey's chocolate. Like, it becomes that petty. But I have a hard time saying, like, you could argue and just say that one store should do the anti-bias training, but because they try to be so inclusive as a company, they did it company-wide. You know, I don't want to just make the assumption, but it's hard not to go, okay, like, why did they actually do this?
Hmm. You know, it just sounds like a CYA to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So as a consumer, I have a hard time. It's like I will still go to Starbucks. I really don't care whether or not their employees say Christmas.
Yeah, I don't even think about that. I just want coffee.
Yeah.
Don't think about it.
You better say Merry Christmas to me or I'm never coming back here again. You're never it's getting like, my $20 think about a month.
Yeah, I'm like drinking it. And I'm not like, oh shit, I should probably throw this up right now because they support this.
Yeah. Ah, there's these so kids would you in agree Colombia that are giving me these beans. I can't support this.
That's why I don't go to Starbucks, actually, is because of the not.
Oh, the Monsanto?
Yeah, I don't like Starbucks.
No, not
either.
Monsanto, but their Better Business Bureau rating was terrible, and they use debatable methods on most likely they're getting their I think it's like 50% of their coffee beans from child slave labor or something like that.
Oh.
I don't. Let's fact check those numbers, but I don't want to get crucified here. But it's not a good outlook.
Right. Well, so going back, like about political stance and companies, would you agree that as long as it doesn't affect the employee, whoever's working there, whatever the company's standing for, and as long as it doesn't affect people's lives as consumers, you know?
What do you mean by that?
What I'm saying, like, let's say you're like a Republican or something and you go into a very liberal supported business, mm-hmm. and they refuse service to you.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Like or something like that. Like that level of affecting the consumer's life. I guarantee you it's never going to be that drastic, but as long as it's not affecting the employee or the consumer, their livelihood, I agree that a company can have political stance.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because it's a group of people, like, and some people would argue that that's just not good business to do that.
Right, but that's a business argument, an ethics and business argument. That's not really, you know, a free speech argument. And I think that you're, as a company, you're free to take a stance on anything, but if that stance is so unpopular that it's going to put you out of business, it's like, then that's going to just be decided for you.
Right. Would you agree with that, Jake?
I agree. I also think it's funny because the thought that I had was, I bet there's probably like people who are heterosexuals that are like, where's my group? Like, why can't they support us? Like, why do they have to say it? It's like, why do they have to support the institution of a marriage between a man and a woman? And I think that's because that argument is rooted in religion, and companies are more obsessed with not taking religious roots than they are political.
Well, I think part of the problem is too that gay marriage wasn't even legal until what, like 10 years ago, I think, and in the whole country, and heterosexual marriage has been just the institution for whatever, for however, you know, many years, obviously. But even interracial marriage, it wasn't legal until, you know, around the civil rights movement. I can't remember the name of the couple, but it was a white man and a black woman, and they were the first interracial couple that could legally get married in the United States. And there are people who are still alive today that mm-hmm. were born during that time, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of it.
No, I definitely think so. I think that's what I'm trying to say, though, is like, it's hard to say that they don't deserve a group like that because it's been discriminated against, but I think that's because everybody's like, well, they got a group. We need a group. Like, if we don't have our group, then what are we? It's like,
so what about that lady that like was making wedding cakes and she refused?
There's one that just came back again because the I don't remember where the bakery was, but they said like they were a Christian couple that owned the bakery, and they said they would not make a cake for a gay couple. And
what do you think about that, Gabe?
Well, the government forced them, and they had to pay out a lot.
Well, do you think?
And,
I mean,
hold on, the story is not done. They also are back in the news because they refused to do a Muslim cake.
They're back.
So here's the problem.
Round two.
Yeah, here's the problem with refusing people service, and there is also a problem with the government forcing people to do things, right? Because you can't. It's very difficult to pinpoint where you draw the line, right? Because if a black couple would have went into that bakery and they said, we're not going to serve you because you're black, that's just flat out racism, and that's illegal. You know, it's
that's
illegal.
Affecting someone's livelihood, a consumer.
Absolutely. So when you do that to a gay couple, I mean, and I don't like that the government stepped in and made them do it. I just think that they just should have did it.
That's one of my opinions too.
I don't like the government stepping in and saying that these are mandated things, but if they need to, like if we're so naive to say that, you know, oh, well, I'm not going to serve you because you're this. Is that really the America that you want to live in? Do you want to go to a restaurant and they say, I'm not going to serve you because you're a Christian? You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's like, you're not going to have a waiter that walks up and says, do you believe in Christ? And then you have a Jewish person no, I don't. And they're like, you're fine. And it's like, yes, I believe in the reincarnate Christ. Get the fuck out of here.
That's not the country that I want to live in, you know? It's not the place that I don't think anybody really wants to live there.
This is the other thing. Just in regards to that couple that refused to make that cake for the gay couple. It also depends on like the cake, which I highly doubt this gay couple was like, okay, I want you to put the man and the wife on top, but I want to be doing doggy style. And I want there to be a nightstand with cocaine, like just like weird stuff. Right, it was probably just like, can you put two men or two women on top of this cake? And you don't have to be comfortable with it, but that's revenue for your company. Like, are you just afraid that you're going to like go back to church and your pastor's going to be like, so I heard that you made a cake for a gay couple.
Was it even that though? Did they put anything? Did they put anything like that on the cake, or was it just
no? They didn't.
Cake?
They refused to make it at first, and I think they were forced to. But it was either they were forced to, or they lost the legal suit. So it was one of the
that's
two.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, but the fact that they're also back in, I think that's also discrimination. Where it's like, there's probably like this person who's like, this place just got. Like this lawsuit, like we could win a lot of money. Like we don't want to deny that that could happen too. But I
don't think it's a company's right to refuse somebody a service because they, you know, something about them that they disagree with. Like I don't think that if, you know, they're going to the farthest left bakery you can find and somebody goes in and they're like, well, you know, I am a white male, and they refuse you service. That's okay. Just like I don't think it's okay that they went in as a gay couple and they were refused service. But I don't.
What if you were making a cake for a Klan rally?
Oh,
that's a
good one.
That's a good question too. I don't because
we want this like. Cross kind of candle that like lights on fire on the top of the cake. Can you guys do that for us?
Jesus.
The whole candle. Oh my god. So, Bandersnatch, what endings did we get? Hold on, spoiler alert.
Oh, for Bandersnatch, yeah, spoiler alert. Turn back if you have not.
Skip to the ending. The first night I watched it twice. The first time I did not get an ending where the video game did well. It like got reviewed and it was like 2 out of 5 stars. This is a disappointing game. And the next time I got like 5 stars, they were like, this is the best game, but I had a bad outcome. So it was like, this guy went crazy and killed his dad. It's like, oh, sweet, my game did well, but dang, I had to kill my dad.
How are you? I'm trying to remember my ending. I think I got both of those. I did the one where I didn't want to work with, what's his name?
Yeah, eyebrow I chose guy. That the second time. I was like, no, I'm not working.
I chose that the second time, too, because like my game got 2 out of 5 stars or whatever. It got shat on majorly. But then it restarts over on that TV, and you go back to the point. Is that an ending, I guess?
Yeah, I think like once your game gets reviewed, it's like an ending. And like there's a couple of different endings. Okay. Like you can actually have it accidentally end early, where like because you miss like a certain step, like the story doesn't progress. There's like 2 steps that can make it progress, but like if you miss one, it'll send it to the end, and it's like it shows you and your dad sitting on the couch, and then like your game gets reviewed and it's just a bad review, and then the guy actually stands up and he's like, I gotta start over.
I also got the kill your father with the 5-star game review, end of the game. But did you guys get the weird, it was like where scene? It went through to the end and it was like, no, not the fight scene, yeah. the Netflix one.
Yeah, I
where
did,
like,
yes.
It was like the chick working at Netflix and it was like.
Oh, I didn't get that one, no.
Yeah, it was like the chick that was working at Netflix and she wrote like Bandersnatch and it's like,
oh no, I
what
did
do you
get
choose
that.
To
I
do?
Did get
and
that
it's like,
one.
Destroy computer and I just like she just like takes the keyboard and just beats the shit out of the computer with
no
the
I did get
thing,
that
and I was
one.
Like this is pretty cool
yeah, that I did get that ending.
Okay,
I got the one where he's like aware of like you that
yeah,
you're
yeah.
choosing
yep.
things like Netflix or whatever
that
choice,
I love
but
that
the last ending I got was the kung fu fight with the therapist
that was pretty, well at first like
and then his dad shows up
it was Black Mirror and I was like she was like, wouldn't you,
and
like,
then he's dead,
wouldn't you
right?
like your
like
life
had
to
a,
have a little bit like, more action? I was like, okay, this could go 2 ways. They're either going to yeah. have sex or they're going to fight. And then, like, what he said.
Yeah, I thought it was
like, going to
be a sex scene. I was like, oh, my gosh.
I was like, okay, it's fight. But then I'm like, it's also Black Mirror, so it could be weird where they, for some reason, start fighting and then they have sex.
Yeah, there could always be that yeah. twist.
But yeah, I also liked in that. Yeah, did you get that part in that where like, if you jump out the window, did you see that in the Netflix part? So during
the
like, so
the, during
the so
fight?
You get the option to fight or
no?
Jump
I got
out the
one...
window. Those are 2 options.
Okay, no, I chose the fight, and then you die. Mm-hmm. You have like a brain.
Aneurysm or something?
I don't know, yeah. Aneurysm, and then you're like, it comes back to reality, and you're in the therapist's office, and you're just like, mm-hmm.
So if you choose to jump out the window, if you choose
one.
To jump out the window and not fight, it again like cuts, and then you're like, he's on the movie set, and like one of the like producers is like, dude, what's going on? Like, and he's like. Nothing, I'm fine. And she like says his name and he's like acting like he's still a part of like the world. He's acting like it's crazy.
This is weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was some weird shit.
I think
so did you get the Pac-Man thing? Did you
no,
did you
I never got
that.
Dude,
oh my
you have to
gosh.
Go back and get it.
What happens?
You go to hang out with
yeah,
the eyebrow
you hang
guy.
Out with the weird dude.
Eyebrow.
What is his name?
Sid from Toy Story. That's his name.
Sid from Toy Story.
All grown up.
Dude, by the way, he like quit Twitter because he was like getting,
really?
I guess, bullied a little bit by people or something on there. I'm trying to remember what it was. I think he was getting made fun of, and he just like...
Because of Bandersnatch?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of Sid memes and things going on.
Oh, boo-hoo, I have money. Oh, everybody knows who I am.
I don't know if that's exactly what
Twitter.
Happened,
what
but I think it was like... You know, in the...
what a snowflake.
What was the last Star Wars movie that came out?
Last Jedi?
The Last Jedi, yeah. That Asian chick in The Last Jedi, she was getting bullied a lot online for her performance, and she quit Twitter and all that stuff. I think it was a similar situation where he just got, like, fed up and, like, he put, like, this, you know, note on Twitter, long note, just saying that he's leaving for a while.
Just like how those annoying people on Facebook, sorry, guys, I'm getting off of Facebook for a little while.
Yeah. He said he was leaving to focus on his mental health. I'm like, did he lose his mind making Bandersnatch or something?
No, he just, like, the way it sounds is he's just, like, a crybaby.
Yeah.
That's the way it sounds.
Anyway Sid, you choose to meet with him, and he's, like, talking to you across from him, and you guys are just chilling in his place, and he pulls out acid.
Okay. Like,
you know, strips.
A tab, yeah.
Yeah, a little tab. And he's like, you want it? And like, you're like, nah, you can choose yes or no. And I chose no.
I chose yes and no.
Yeah, if you choose no, he drops it in your like drink that he gives you without you knowing. And you're like, you take it and like, later on, like, you're starting to trip pretty heavily. There's like a painting on the wall that starts to like move.
He
stuff.
Like puts his hand and it's like.
And he, like yeah, and he's going on and on. He sounds like Alex Jones, like the eyebrow guy. He's going on about like conspiracies and stuff about like people controlling you. And he invites you over on the balcony. And he's like, the truth is, like, I can't remember the exact dialogue, but he's like, you can jump and reset if you jump right now off the balcony or whatever. And he's like, but you can make the choice if I do it or you. Who's it going to be or whatever?
Oh, my God.
And you can... You can choose.
You can choose yourself or him.
Or him. And I chose him to jump off. And you're like, he's like, all right. And he like jumps up and you just see him like, woo, goes down and just like, boom. And he like just like splatters on the concrete.
Oh my God.
And you're like, holy shit.
This is terrible.
Yeah.
Well, it's crazy because like.
Didn't you see a demon guy too? Like.
I don't remember the demon guy.
Did you see a demon
in
the apartment?
I thought you did. But I never got that part.
I got that part.
See, I wanted to because I was like, how crazy can we make this guy? So I don't know what choice I had. But it's so funny because like he like jumps and then like I think something does reset. Like if he jumps, like something resets. And then you go back like the first day. And then
You're at the front of your therapist with your dad, I think. Right?
No, it brings you back to like the choice where you first meet with the game company. And then the guy's like, this is usually where that guy sits.
Right.
He's like, I don't know where he is. And you're like, he's dead. You just killed him.
Yeah, he's gone. He's not there. They said that he left town. And you're
like
kind of freaking out. Like, did I actually kill him? Did he actually die?
It's
super trippy, man. You got to watch it again. I got to watch it again.
I
got to
get the demon.
Is there a wholesome ending? Is there a wholesome ending?
I don't know. I hope so.
You and Dad are like sitting on the couch eating mints together, and you know you're just like shooting the shit. Like, I love you, Dad. Look at my game. We got five stars.
I don't think there is.
I'm gonna search.
I don't think so either.
All right, I'm gonna find out.
Apparently, there's new endings that there's some endings that haven't been unlocked or something. I was reading that the
says the short and happy ending is the easiest one. Where you either accept or refuse help, and then if you refuse, then the game does poorly. So if he jumps off and dies, that means that the game gets finished without him, and there's no rating. You get a semi-happy ending if he takes his medication. There's the meta Netflix ending.
I'm just reading an article right now. Like I saw this earlier this week, but apparently there's another ending that they discovered that if you pick up the family photo twice, it changes the timeline. Like, where it's more decisions.
There's one where he finds out there's an ending where he finds out, I got this ending too, where he finds out he's been part of a government project.
Yes, oh, wow. I got that one. That was crazy.
I did not get that.
It was like MK Ultra type of thing. Like,
oh, God.
Oh, shit. There's the one where you get the time traveling ending. I got that one.
I only watched.
I didn't get
once,
the time travel.
So, yeah. So like, yeah. So remember, like, Colin says, like, mirrors let you time travel. You can like put your hand in this.
Oh,
mirror.
When you go through them. Yeah. I did do that. Yeah, I did do
it
that.
It says when Stefan encounters the safe, you need to choose toy as the passcode, and then you recover your old toy to put it back in its place. The problem is that like him and his mom are still delayed.
I just heard a toy sound.
Yeah.
That was my dog. He walked on.
That was like perfect timing.
And then
you type in toy.
Yep. And then there's like the best ending of like the game did 5 out of 5, which is the one where you kill your dad.
Oh, so that's the best ending?
Yeah.
God. That's terrible.
When you kill your dad.
I just wish there were, like, to be honest, I wish there was more endings. That's what I wish. Because, like, it feels like you get there really quickly.
It's just tapping into this whole new genre now. Like, there's going to be other movies guaranteed. I was talking to a friend the other day about just imagine if we implemented this into the theater system where you just like 3D glasses, you would get like a remote that could choose decisions, and it takes a mass vote from the theater group, and then it makes the choice based on the percentage of people that voted for that.
Dude, we should make that.
Dude, that'd be amazing, because you would get a different theater experience every time based on the crowd that you're with.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Like, you can do the same.
I don't know. I think that would piss me off.
You're like, damn it! I voted for
this! I voted for
80% of the people voted for that.
You're like, it'd be like that scene with him, like, jumping off. You're like, I don't want to see him jump off. Everybody's like, jump off.
That'd kind of be fun, though. Even though you get mad, you get a different experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, that'd be crazy. Overall, I think I like the fact that they went in the interactive route. It reminds me a lot of like those Telltale Walking Dead games and Wolf Among Us. Like,
absolutely.
Those games are awesome. But the one thing that I think I did not like was that, like, even though there was a lot of choices, it didn't really feel like it impacted the story.
Yeah,
enough.
You don't really care about the characters very much. You're just, it's more about the new territory that we're tapping into with making decisions for characters. Like, they didn't make the characters' backstories very compelling. It's just like a crazy, distraught, nerdy gamer guy that is losing his mind.
Like, there was no back. Like, you get like a little bit of a backstory, but like, it, you don't really see how badly it affects him, like, over time. It's just like, it's really bad for him. So, but again, like, I think if they gave us more options, like, I think it said the longest it would take to, like, beat it would be, like, 1 hour and 40 minutes or something. And that's a long time, but when you're so immersed in it, it does not feel like almost 2 hours.
No. I kind of want, like, 3 hours.
Yeah, just a little bit more, because what I wanted more of was, like, the crazy, like, maybe not crazy, maybe the decision to make him go crazier, like, a longer period of time. Like, you know, he's sitting there, and then he's like, you know, break your keyboard. And then he's like, I don't want to break my keyboard. And then the next time you get that option, it's like, you break your keyboard. Like, it just goes straight into it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like you go to break your keyboard, and then, like, you have another weird decision where it's like, maybe you're, like, standing there, and it's like, walk in the middle of the street, and you get hit by a car. You know, like, making it so bizarre.
It's hard to write all those decisions, though, because
right.
That creates so many different avenues, paths.
You're making like 100 movies, and you're just branding it as one movie.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But that's where it's like, there's so many endings where it's like, I think there was like 8 different endings. You could have stuck with like 4 or 5 and then made the places.
All the paths go to that.
Yeah. Like, you could have just different decisions bring you to different paths and whatnot. Because, like, a game works like that.
Well, it's like
Mass Effect.
Oh god, yeah, let's not get into the ending of Mass Effect 3. The worst video game of all time. Dude,
I don't think so.
The best and the worst at the same time.
No, dude,
Mass
dude,
Effect
3 terrible.
Was great
it's
when you
awful.
Play the DLC. Even your dog is like bullshit.
It's like when you're like, okay, all your decisions matter, and then you get to the last part of the game, and it's like, okay, make a decision
well,
out of two.
Thanks,
that's it.
EA.
Right? Nothing you do in that whole game matters in the end. It doesn't matter if you amass. Let's not.
It's kind of like life.
Let's
not
get into this.
No, but I think overall the direction of interactive on Netflix. That's such a good idea. I was thinking to myself, how fun would it be to do like educational videos for kids and adults? You know, like there's a lot of different things you could do, like
about parenting.
Well, think about like you've got Dora the Explorer. Why not throw in that like interactive aspect?
Yeah,
where like a kid can choose. They can begin to start thinking. You know.
Yeah.
So. I think it's awesome.
That would be awesome.
Overall, Bandersnatch, probably a 4 out of 5 for me.
I thought you were going to be like 4 out of 10.
No, 4 out of 10.
Like, <what? laughs>
4 out of 5. Yeah, 4 out of 5 for me.
No, I think, yeah, it's definitely up there for me. I have problems giving things star ratings now. Is that just, I don't know. I can't reduce something down to a number anymore. If I liked it, or I thought it was okay, or I thought it was bad. I liked it.
I think it was really innovative, and I think that it's going to point the direction of entertainment in the future, especially on things like Netflix and Hulu. I think that people really liked it, and if somebody would release something where you can get like the most sappy, feel-good, romantic comedy type ending, that's just gonna, the ratings are gonna be through the roof,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
well, I think that's what they did too, is like they made it less adult because I think they've realized they can make adult content without having to do anything aside from language and the drug scene.
Yeah.
Which is cool because it is accessible, you know, because they're like, there's probably 13-year-old kids that are gonna be playing it, and the more sexualized you make things, the more violent, like, it can be kind of shocking, especially with technology nowadays for some kids, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty violent. I mean,
dude,
it is.
Smack your dad
cut
in
up
the
your
head.
Dad or bury
oh, dude,
him.
I cut that guy
yeah.
out.
Yeah, if killing your dad is the best ending, I mean.
Yeah.
Kill
yeah, your
that's,
father.
That's pretty violent.
The left is like, that's us. We got to kill all the dads. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the right is like, these are all the damn kids today. They just want to kill their
parents.
They just
want to make
look
video
at what
games.
Video games are doing. Yeah.
What is Fortnite? Oh, yep. But I think I'm excited to see what they come out with next. I wonder if it's going to be another Black Mirror thing because they realized that it worked, or if there's going to be somebody else who's already making.
If the whole season was that
oh
way.
My
oh
god.
My gosh.
Oh god.
Oof.
Wow.
That'd be insane.
That would be insane.
Would be insane.
Oh, it would be even crazier if like it got like age restricted. Like, you know how on like YouTube you have to make an account. Like, it'd be ridiculous to like have that option. Because then you can make it more adult. Because Black Mirror is the content is heavy. That's the things
yes.
that they deal with.
Yes,
so I don't like if I watched Black Mirror when I was 18, I would have no clue. Like, how to handle most of those topics.
Oh, yeah, because most of them
sure.
are political, social issues.
That, the first episode of season one.
My favorite one was the Bryce Dallas Howard, the social media one. Did you watch that one?
Which one is that? I've seen most of them.
It takes place in the future where likes and social status is like integrated with reality, where you can like look at someone and like,
yeah, okay. With the I think she has like red hair as the main character,
yes.
and she's
yeah.
going to the chick's wedding. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that one a lot.
That one is insane.
The one that's also insane,
dude. China is doing.
They
that.
Are.
Did you guys read about this?
I did.
Well, the fact that like she couldn't get a certain car rental based on her social status and likes and ratings.
That's
insane.
That's happening. Yeah, that's
really?
Happening in China right now. Yeah. They're rating people based on their their social interactions and like if they've been to jail. And if you have a higher social rating, you get, you know, better deals on rental cars and you can buy houses in more affluent areas. And if you don't, you get like travel restrictions. Yep. It's so
if you
like
just
Black
got out of
Mirror.
Prison, yep. You can't get anything but a double wide.
Pretty like, much like, dude, it's just trapping you in your circumstances. It is insane.
One of my favorite Black Mirror episodes is the one where the mom can like see through her daughter's eyes and like monitor everything.
Yeah, angel wings
oh,
one
my
or whatever.
Gosh, like I know that there's parents that are like, I wish I could do that. It's like, I wish I could just see what my kid was doing.
Dude, and then,
I'd rather not know what my kid is doing. Like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to know it. Like,
yeah, dude, then she watches her like have sex with a guy and it's like broken. It's like, oh God, this is so
that
crazy.
Was so
like,
awkward.
It hurts my
I know, but
soul.
Again, it's like, you know, people that are like, I would totally do it.
I want
it's like,
that.
I would not want to see that.
I would buy that.
Like, even the conversations, like, imagine the conversation that you had when you were 16 years old. Now think about how much of an idiot that you were when you had that conversation. It would just be you watching dumb kids all day. And you want to see that? You can just watch MTV and get that same shit.
Well, this has been the Good Bad Podcast.
Tune in next week.
Let me say that again. Sorry. I'm saying bod. I'm saying bod instead of
good
bad.
Bod,
God.
This has been the Good Bod.
The Good Bod Podcast.
Well, this has been the Good Bad Podcast.
Tune in next week for next week's episode.
I'm Gabe.
I'm Jake.
I'm Noah.
See you next week.